Back in the room, Detective Douglas asked Kelly some routine questions. Kelly told them what he knew. Pam had been involved with some bad people, drug people, who used women for something, though he didn't know what. She had some information regarding a murder, he said, and that was what they were going to discuss with Detective Frank Allen. Douglas mentioned a pair of shotgun-wielding robbers who were preying on drug customers. Could these be the men who killed Pam? Kelly shook his head. Douglas finally withdrew, dissatisfied with the information. He'd hoped for a strong lead, and this didn't seem to be it. Alone in his bed, alone with his mind, Kelly thought things through. The police are wrong, he told himself. It wasn't the robbers, it was them, the people Pam was afraid of. Whatever he had done wrong, it was done. Whoever did this to Pam, they were still out there, and they would do it again. They've never met anyone like me before. I need to get back into shape. Chief Bosun's mate John Terence Kelly told himself. The name they had given him in Vietnam boiled up from the past. Snake. Kelly pushed the call button. Nurse O'Toole appeared within 2 minutes. I'm hungry, he told her. It was almost grim to watch, Sandy thought. The strange thing was that he was being a good patient. He didn't whine, he didn't bitch. He just did what they told him to do. And when the therapist asked for more, more was delivered, and on, until the therapist was pushed beyond the point of pride in the results of his efforts and began to worry. One more week, Kelly thought to himself. Got to get this damned arm working.
So, what have you found out for us? Maxwell asked.
Good news and bad news, Greer replied. The opposition has very little in the way of regular ground forces within response distance of the objective. Admirals Maxwell, Greer, and Podolsky hovered over the reconnaissance photos from satellites and the drones, affectionately called buffalo hunters. It was the buffalo hunter photos that had first come to Greer's attention. One was good enough to have identified a face, Colonel Robin Zacharias, United States Air Force. His F-105G had been shot down 14 months earlier, and a falsified picture of his body had been published. This camp, whose code name, Sender Green, was known to fewer than 50 men and women, was separate from the better-known Hanoi Hilton, which had been visited by American citizens, and where, since the spectacular but unsuccessful Operation Kingpin raid on the camp at Song Tay, nearly all American POWs had been concentrated. Out of the way, in the most unlikely of places, not acknowledged in any way, Sender Green was ominous. Here was a place whose very existence suggested that some high-ranking prisoners would never be returned to America. So many games were going on. Gutsy, Maxwell breathed. The blow-up showed the man's face, staring straight at the camera. One caught one of the guards in the act of swinging a rifle butt into his back. The face was clear. It was Zacharias. This guy is Russian, Podolsky said, tapping the drone photos. The uniform was unmistakable. We've got to find a way. If we don't, we'll never see these men again.
I concur, Greer replied. Look, if you want, I can try to sell the idea to some people, but I'm not very hopeful.
If we don't, we're breaking faith with our people, Podolsky slammed his fist on the desk.
Cool down, Kaz, Maxwell suggested.
Yes, sir.
You know, Maxwell continued thoughtfully, looking at the map, this is right where my son was shot down. That SEAL went in and recovered him right about here, he said, indicating the place.
Somebody who knows the area from ground level? Greer asked.
That's a help. Where is he?
Your gun's in the back of the car, Sergeant Douglas told him. Unloaded. Keep it that way from now on.
What about Pam? Kelly asked.
We've got some leads, Douglas replied.
And that said it all, Kelly thought.
Someone had leaked it to the papers that Pam had an arrest record for prostitution, and with that revelation, the case had lost its immediacy. Sam brought the scout up to the entrance himself. The body was all fixed. There was a new window on the driver's side. Kelly gave the scout a long look. It was history, and history could not be changed.
Back to your island, John? Rosen asked.
Kelly nodded.
Yeah.
I have to get back into shape.
I want to see you back here in, 2 weeks for a follow-up.
Yes, sir. I'll be back, Kelly promised. He thanked Sandy O'Toole for her care and was rewarded with a smile. She'd almost become a friend in the preceding 18 days. Almost. Perhaps she already was.
Kelly got into his car, nodded and smiled at them, and drove off, alone, for the first time since his arrival at the hospital. Finally.
Springer was in her accustomed place 20 minutes later. Kelly went aboard, and soon the diesels were chugging away and he was ready to cast off. Kelly's line handling was awkward as his left arm balked at doing the things his mind commanded. Finally, the lines were slipped and Springer headed out. When he reached open water, he leaned back and opened the envelope Sam had left for him at the hospital. Only the photos had been left out. He'd seen one of them, and that one had been enough. A handwritten cover note showed that Sam had gotten the copies of Pam's file from his friend, the state medical examiner. It was marked wrongful death and homicide. The cause of death, the report said, was manual strangulation, probably from a shoestring, and the killer had faced the victim while performing the act. The report went on for 5 single-spaced pages. The victim had been subjected to violent and extensive traumatic insult prior to death. She had been raped, and an unusually large quantity of semen was still evident, indicating that the killer had not been alone in raping the victim. Extensive cuts and bruises about the hands and forearms were termed defensive classical. Pam had fought for her life. Her jaw had been broken, along with 3 other bones. Kelly had to set the report down. As you can see from the photos, Sam, the handwritten page said, this was something from a couple of really sick folks. It was deliberate torture over several hours. One thing the report leaves out. Her hair was combed out, probably post-mortem. Seems a little odd. I gather you knew the girl. I'm sorry, my friend. Brent. The page was signed. Kelly slid the package back into the envelope. He opened the drawer and removed a box of .45 ammunition, loading the 2 magazines for his automatic.
Never again, Johnny boy, he said aloud. We're not going to make any more mistakes. Not ever.